Welcome in to Christmas Clatter. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope everybody is safe, healthy, and well. I know Thanksgiving might be a little different, but I hope you guys are making the best of it. Hope you're getting to talk to all those loved ones you usually only get to see or talk to on the holidays, either through Zoom or Skype or FaceTime or Facebook Live or what have you. And hopefully some parts of the world, parts of the country, you're able to get together in some small groups. I know we're getting together in a small group at my family's house, at my mom and dad's house, just to enjoy a nice meal and to enjoy one another's company for this Thanksgiving. I take time to be thankful. In this Thanksgiving bonus episode, I have the wonderful music from an artist, Luke McMaster. He's put out an album called Christmas Present. At first, me and him talk about the album, go through it. Stay tuned for after our conversation and hear my review of the album. So joining me here on this Thanksgiving edition of Christmas Clatter, here's my conversation with Luke McMaster. I'd like to welcome into Christmas Clatter, Luke McMaster. He's a soul singer and has a few Christmas albums under his belt. I believe he has four total, including this new one, Christmas Present, that released. It has a couple original songs on it and some Motown covers. And tell you the truth, Luke, I am a monster Motown fan. It was the first music as a kid that I knew I loved. When I first saw the song list here for Christmas Present, I was a little leery because these were some of my favorite songs. But I tell you what, man, you did fantastic versions of them. I was so happy with each and every one of them, and the original songs are great.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate
that. Tell us a little bit about the always been a Motown fan, or just something you wanted to tackle now?
It'd be tough to just tackle it in adulthood, because there's a lot of depth to that music. I was lucky because I'm from a small town, Brandon, Manitoba, right middle of Canada, northern Canada. But my dad was a university professor that would travel around the world. We lived in California for a year. We lived in all these different places because he'd do these sabbaticals. He was at Stanford University doing a sabbatical. And he ended up doing one in Detroit and would bring home these stacks of vinyl records. And I have three brothers, and he'd sit us down. He'd go, "Hey, guys, you got to check out this music." And, you know, my brothers were kind of like, "Oh, yeah, whatever." They were more into rock and that kind of stuff. But it just set me off. I became kind of like Rain Man, just playing these records over and over again. Everything from like Stevie Wonder to Smokey Robinson, Four Tops, on and on. And I was lucky because I don't know. I believe in fate and serendipity and faith and all that kind of stuff. And I just felt like I feel like my voice was just suited for that type of music. And, you know, Smokey Robinson, when I heard him sing in that falsetto, just something clicked in my brain, and my voice, my whole style just naturally gravitated towards that. And that's the road I've been on ever since.
My dad worked for a local TV station for CBS Philly, and he brought home Murphy Brown, which TV show known for playing a lot of Motown hits in its soundtrack. It was going to syndication, so as a gift to some of the local affiliates, sent out these cassette tapes of Murphy Brown's soundtrack, and he brought one home, and I grabbed it, you know, had a cassette player, a jam box, if you will, in my room, and I put it in there, and I was drawn to the bass. And at the time I didn't know anything about music or anything like that, but something about that bass guitar, which I learned later found out was James Jamerson and Bob Babbitt and those guys, it just drew me, and it just sucked me in right away. And those grooves and those beats were so infectious that, you know, 50, 60 years later, they're still some of the best tracks laid down. Motown put out some of the best modern Christmas music of the 60s as well. Just some really great stuff. I kind of knew your answer because I was looking through your discography and saw you had Songs of Smokey on there. And it's like, I took a listen to that, and that was super cool.
That was wild. That was something that I got, like I mentioned, my label Green Hill that are out in Nashville, not too far from you. I got a random phone call from my A&R guy, Greg Howard. And he just said, "Luke, What would you think about doing a Smokey Robinson reimagination album? Just like reimagine all his songs in your style. And I was just like, is that a facetious question? Of course. Like, are you kidding me? And he said, yeah, his publishers, Primary Wave, that own a lot of his publishing, they've heard what you're doing and they think you'd do a good job of this, which it was a huge honor for me. So I spent last fall recording this record, and the whole way through they kept saying, you know, we're going to send this to Smokey's management and he may hear it. Mm-hmm. Can't promise you that he'll hear it, but he might hear what you're doing, which was really exciting and really scary at the same time. So we finished the album and sure enough, they sent it to his management. His management sent it to him, and he all of a sudden there was this tweet that came out from Smokey, and it was like, have you guys heard this guy, Luke McMaster, this version of Ooh Baby Baby? I love this. And my head just exploded. Like, it was the craziest thing. You know, and I've been really blessed because I've gotten to work with some icon, what I call icons of soul. Mm-hmm. And I did a documentary and an album, same name, Icons of Soul, where, you know, I've been, like we were talking about, Todd, you know, my whole life being influenced by Motown and soul music. I was lucky enough that I met a guy that knew some of the people that made that music, including a guy named Lamont Dozier. And a lot of people might not know his name, but they certainly know his music. He wrote and produced with the Holland Brothers for Berry Gordy and Motown. He was one of their primary composers, and he wrote songs like for a lot of the Four Tops stuff. You know, Can't Help Myself. What's it called? Stop in the Name, all the Supreme stuff. Like I said, the Four Tops, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, just an incredible writer. And we got to get together with him. We got hooked up with him to work on my album. And so obviously when you're working on music with someone, you get all these great stories, you get to know someone. We had cameras there, and so we shot the experience and put a little half hour documentary together about our experience and a lot about his life and interviewing him. And then of course, like, and then getting Smokey Robinson to hear some of my music. It's just, I've been really lucky that I've been able to experience some of this stuff and I've learned so much. And, you know, going back to Christmas Present, my new Christmas album, you know, I don't think I could have made that same album 10 years ago. Because it's not an easy album to make. It's easy now for me. It's really fun, and the musicians I get to work with are so talented. But I just felt like, you know, maybe 10 years ago I wouldn't have taken it on. I would have been like, you know, I want to make sure I can do these songs justice. But all the things that I've learned by working with these guys, I've just gone like, okay, you know, I know I have Lamont's voice kind of in my ear, going, no, you got to do the harmonies like that. Oh, no, put the background singers to the side of the mic here, and, you know, just make stuff that I can't believe that's in my head now. Mm-hmm. So thanks again for your kind words about the album, but it was a labor of love for sure.
Yeah. This is kind of, it seems like where it's kind of your love for Motown and your love for Christmas kind of meet here, because you've picked some heavyweight songs here to cover for Christmas Present, which I really, really admire your gusto for doing so.
Exactly. It was ambitious. Sure. Yeah,
it was, but the thing is like I said, you really pulled it off, and you have a couple original songs on here that fit very well in this mix. Not every song on here is, you know, a Motown, a song like White Christmas was originally Bing Crosby, but you cover more of the Drifters version of the song. But the song Christmas Present, when you sit down and write songs like this, I'm always curious about writing Christmas songs. How do you get that Christmas feel, but sing about something, you know, you don't want to be like a cookie cutter Christmas song that just throws out all the Christmas cliches and things.
Yeah. Christmas Present. I wrote that with my writing partner, Aaron, and a really talented writer out of the UK, Melissa Bell. And, you know, that one started with just like, really good question, Todd. Like, there's certain chords, like these chords for Christmas Present. I don't know if you can hear that, but. Uh-huh. Those could just be kind of more of a soul song. But the first lines of that song when we were working on it, because we started another Christmas song that was very Christmassy, like very more classic Christmas. And I was just like, okay, well, what about something like this? And we just kind of spat out, would it still be Christmas if we couldn't be together? You know, that first line kind of, stream of consciousness, whatever you want to call it. And it just had this whimsical vibe to it. And it just took on a life of its own from there. Like I said, you know, I could rewrite that song, I'm sure, and do more of a straight up soul tune. But, you know, the Christmas present, that turn of phrase too, just, you know, we're living to live in the present and be, and just be thankful for that gift, for being with people and being, mindful of that and that feeling of gratitude that I'm sure is one of the big reasons, Todd, that you love Christmas so much and you have this Christmas podcast. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same way. I record a lot of Christmas music because it's just a chance to, you know, share that feeling of gratitude. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great to get a nice Christmas present, right? But I'm, you know, in the song, you know, it's more about that gift that you have of the family that you have, or the friends, or the people that are there, or even, it could be even a pet, just someone that's there, or something that's there in your life that you can lean on.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Christmas presents, a very fitting Christmas song, especially for coming to the close of 2020 and all the craziness we've been through, but it's going to be one of those songs that's really going to live on, you know, just past this year because of the subject matter of being in the Christmas present. In fact, I just finished a social media series called Christmas with Purpose, where I had 7 steps to kind of help people to focus their Christmas and, you know, make sure that the time doesn't just fly by with us sitting there wondering where did all the time go. Because, you know, as we sit here in the States, next week is Thanksgiving, and then it's on for Christmas for us. It's just it's the mad dash through the year. It's a marathon to Christmas, but as we get closer, you start to do that sprint. And a song like Christmas Present, you know, really helps.
Oh, thank you. That was the goal. That was the goal. So I appreciate you saying that. Yeah, it is. You know, time flies by so quickly, and when you have a 2020, like you said, like we've had. And we've all been forced to seclude ourselves at times, and be forced to be away from our loved ones. And it really is like absence makes the heart grow fonder, however you want to put it. But you go, man, I used to just be able to pick up the phone and call my mom and just say, hey, you want to swing by and see the girls? I have 2 daughters. And it's just like we went months and months and months without seeing her. And it was really tough. It was really tough on my girls too, right? So getting them to understand it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it was just one of those subconscious things when we were writing Christmas Present. It was just, we sat down intentionally to do that, but I think all 3 of us were feeling that, at the same time, and it came through.
Yeah. I listened to the album multiple times to really get it in my ear. And I listened to Christmas Present, and it kind of washed over me the way it was written with the backdrop of 2020. And I thought, and I kind of got alone for a little bit and kind of put myself in the headspace of what if, you know, this was a Christmas was coming up and it was like a really great year. Like everything just, you know, someone had individually a great year and, you know, all is well with the world. And I listened to it again and the lyrics, a well-written song like Christmas Presents, the lyrics, you will hear different things or a phrase will hit you a completely different way, you know, depending on the mindset. And it was like, it still fit because it was like, okay, let's just get centered. You had a heck of a year, but let's get centered. Let's focus at Christmas time and be thankful for what we had, you know? And
Yeah. You're really, I hope all the listeners kind of, you know, I always feel like that's really well put. They interpret it. It means it's like Einstein's theory of relativity, you know, music is in the ear of the beholder, however you want to put it. But I think this year, a lot of people will feel that song, hopefully kind of the way that you're feeling it, that you're vibing on it. So that makes me so happy too, because, you know, that's the other thing about recording an album in this time that we're in. I was hiring musicians and horn sections and doing it like we're doing right now, like over, hey, this is the song, and talking to the horn arranger. And these are some of the horn lines, you know. that I'm thinking for here. And he, you know, so you're not even in the same room with them. Late this summer, we did finally go into a studio to do some recording. Very, very socially distanced, everyone in masks, everyone. Mm-hmm. And man, it was just, it was a beautiful thing. And I was just like, oh man, I miss this. Like, Todd, I'd love to be sitting there by that Christmas tree with you right now. Yeah. Maybe someday we can do that and we'll appreciate it a lot more. Have a little eggnog and just, you know. Yeah.
I tell people all the time, for people that don't play a musical instrument, don't really know the magic of sitting in the room with a bunch of people and making something musical. It's just a feeling that's hard to top and it's hard to beat.
Feeling the air move.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with concerts. And, you know, I had to cancel all my tours this fall. And, you know, it's hard to describe to people. Hopefully a lot of it will be rescheduled, but it's hard to describe to people so that they fully understand. It's not just, oh, you just book those shows. Like, that's like years of like getting to know presenters and building your fan base and hiring musicians and working out arrangements and booking flights and, you know, all the travel and the hotels. And you don't necessarily just get refunds for everything and all that
right.
stuff. There's a lot that goes into it, but it's so worth it because you feel that air move. And you feel like when I go to see concerts and see some of my favorite musicians, you know, it's just something that you can't describe. That being said, I'm very, very thankful that we live in a time where you and I can, this is the next best thing for me.
Yeah,
As opposed to just a phone call, I can kind of feel like, sometimes forget that we're not in the same room together. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of live streaming through this Club Soul, my club that I've started. I'm actually wearing the t-shirt now, you know, where we come together, people that love Motown and soul, and I do full live stream concerts. I'll just turn this on, and when I'm writing songs, the members can kind of sit with me and watch my songwriting process, and we do a lot of fun stuff together. And that's been amazing. I wouldn't have been able to do that, you know, 10 years ago. I wouldn't have had technology. So very lucky that we have that, and that, you know, people like yourself can continue to do your podcasting, because it's important that we have some kind of connection. And I'm glad to hear how well you've been doing. It sounds like you're crushing it on the Christmas podcast. Well,
I appreciate that. And I've always told people I will do recording over the phone, but I prefer just to see the person's face. There's just so many social cues that you get from watching somebody that makes the conversation a little bit more smooth. I want to move on to the second song of the album, This Christmas, because this is Donny Hathaway's version. Is like one of my top three favorite Christmas songs. It's always my favorite Christmas songs always rotate, but it's like one of those that every time I hear that intro, I just melt into a Christmas puddle, because I just love that guy so much, and such a great vocalist. And
that was scary. That was doing that was scary. And you know, I did it, and I told the label too. I just said, look, here's the deal. Cause they really wanted me to do it. They said, look, we think you can do a great job of this, but I just, here's the deal. I want to reserve the right to pull this. I'll send you the demos and stuff that we do, but I need to pull this from the record if it's not up to snuff. And I nearly did that several times because it's Donny Hathaway, but same as you, man. I hear that intro and I just get lost in the song. And so, you know, I didn't sing it a ton. I only did a few takes and it just connected with me. And I would never compare it to the Donny Hathaway song, but I just really wanted it to be part of this album, just as a nod to him. Cause I'm with you, man. He's just, what a voice.
I'm one of those music fans. I don't mind when people cover songs, and I don't mind it if they really cover them in a different way, you know, really mess them up. But this Christmas is one of those songs that I just, for whatever reason, I just want people to kind of
stay true
to the song. And you absolutely did that, and it is
thank you.
It is a fantastic version of This Christmas. And
they're very, very insightful of you, because you know, you're echoing conversations I actually had with my collaborator Aaron, where we did, like, you hear this album, you'll hear some songs that we really flipped them on their heads.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you listen to, what's the song? Not I'll Be Home for Christmas, but there's a couple where it's just, very, very different, mm-hmm. very soulful, very almost mm-hmm. sultry kind of.
Yeah.
That, but that one, we had the conversation with about this Christmas, and we're just like, how do you, like, we can't go too far off, you know? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. And mm-hmm. that's very insightful of you, actually.
We won't run through all, but, you know, like, a White Christmas is a little bit different, even though it, you stay true, but it, you have that, it sounds like an upright bass mm-hmm. in there. And I knew exactly what the song was just by playing it, but it was just a little bit different take. The one I really liked that was, to me, was quite a bit different was Let It Snow. I'm not a big
fan. Yeah. That's the one I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm a Christmas guy. I enjoy Let Them Snow is not one of my favorite, but I am a sucker. I guess that was like a Rhodes piano or something in there.
Yeah.
Or a similar sound. I am a sucker for a good Rhodes piano. I think that's just from my Ray Charles love Paul Notes.
You're a musician then.
I dabble on the bass.
I knew it.
Yeah.
You know your stuff. Yeah. Joel Parisian, the guy that played, that's a real whirly on that too.
Oh, is it?
That's the real thing. And he is a Ray Charles like fanatic. Uh-huh. And yeah, that one, very sultry, very, very groovy. It's a different, I think it's uh-huh. a different time signature. It's totally reharmonized too. Like the chords are a lot more like, you know, almost like what Marvin, like I was like, what would Marvin Gaye uh-huh. on this? It reminds me a bit of Let's Get It On.
Yeah.
That was a bit of the inspiration. And yeah, Joel just, oh man. And I love how like our guitar player, Justin Abbott, and he's just one of the top Canadian players, just incredible. They both did solos in that song. So if you check out that song in the solo section, they did full solos, but they were both so good. Because they both were like, yeah, you know, I threw a solo on here, you know, in the space you gave us. Cool. And then Joel sends his, and I'm like, how do I choose? So we didn't. We just half starts with the guitar solo and ends with the whirly. And I talked to Aaron, and I was like, is that kind of weird to do? Like, I don't hear that a lot, unless it's live where people are trading mm-hmm. off. And I'm just like, man, sounds great. So, yeah.
There's two things that will suck me into a song right away instantly, and it's a Rhodes piano, and it's like a pedaling piano, like on You Really Got a Hold of Me. Just something about the mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. Just
yeah,
for whatever reason, sucks me in every time.
So, yeah. Me too.
I was surprised that you covered Mavis Staples' Christmas Vacation on here, which was really cool.
I looked for some covers of that. There's not
very many good covers of that song. In fact, that song used to be really hard to find. There was some rights or issues or something with it. So finding the original Mavis Staples version is tough to find.
Yeah, because I think for the movie, there's a different singer on it or something for the soundtrack. Obviously, for Vacation, the Chevy Chase classic movie. Yeah, and I got to know the song through that movie because mm-hmm. My family just, we're already watching Christmas music.
So
Christmas movies, I mean, it's like, it started a couple weeks ago, you know, and that one, it's like every year, Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
You know, Elf now is a standard and, mm-hmm. but yeah, Christmas Vacation. And I was just used to love the how fun and how soulful that song was. And especially mm-hmm. the Mavis Staples version. And, that's another one where I was a little less nervous about that because like, you know, I know what I want to do with this. It was just, it felt more like a clean slate on that one. As far as like that, the production, especially on the soundtrack, was very 80s, which is great, but it's kind mm-hmm. of more bombastic. And we just stripped it down. So let's live drums and replace some of the string lines with like real horns and stuff. I love doing vocal arrangements. I go crazy with that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. I love like call and answer harmonies and a lot of the stuff I learned from Lamont Dozier about like how, like when he worked with the Supremes, you know, his gospel influence and like call and answer. And mm-hmm. so I'm able to apply a lot of that stuff, and I really applied it in Christmas Vacation too. So yeah, that was a fun one.
It's a great, great version. And if anybody's out there still kind of looking for that, Luke's version here on Christmas Present is, in my mind, the go-to cover of that song. It's the best one I've heard. And I'm not just saying that because you're here on the podcast, but it is the best cover of that song of the Mabel's Staples.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Couple other songs I want to touch on. Wonderful Christmas Time. Yeah, I'm a Beatles fan. I'm a Paul McCartney fan. To be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of the song, and I don't really know why. I mean, when it comes on Christmas radio, I won't turn it or anything unless I've heard it, you know, two or three times that day. I really enjoyed your version so much better than Paul McCartney's.
I feel like I'm going to get struck by lightning from you saying that, but thank you.
No. That's just my personal opinion. Like I said, I'm a big McCartney fan, but for some reason, it just didn't work for me. I don't know if it was. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know if it's
a lot of crazy like synth stuff going on, and like
I think that's what it is. I'm a real meat and potatoes guy, and there's not a lot of foundation in the original version.
Not real drums. It's not. Yeah, it's very. I think that's when, you know, synthesizers were really starting to come out, and I just have the feeling with Wings and everything that they, you know, when new technology comes out, you can just go down a rabbit hole, and it's got a charm. People love it. It's Christmas standard. Yeah. That was another one where it was just like easy. I don't want to say it was easy. It was one of the easier songs to reinvent, because I'm with you. I've heard it so many times when it comes on the radio. I'm just like, man, I'd like to hear a different version of that with just more like, how would Al Green do it again? Like, how would, you know, mm-hmm. and when Green Hill, my label, said, yeah, we want you to do your versions, like reimagine these Christmas mm-hmm. songs or, you know, maybe this Christmas, don't reimagine it too much, but yeah, Wonderful Christmas Time. You just have to. And even some of the, reharmonizing and some of the horn arrangements on that one, I hope people check it out, because our horn arranger, Ian, just some really interesting stuff that kind of builds and follows kind of what McCartney was alluding to. But it's, again, like, mm-hmm. And that's the other thing. Like, I can't wait to go on the road with this, you know, I'm praying hopefully next year doing a Christmas mm-hmm. tour, a substantial Christmas tour, because, you know, the guys in the band are like, when do we get to tour these? And I'm like, oh, you know, what do you mean? They're like, oh my God, these are just like, these are going to be so fun to play live. And that's always a good sign to me too, you know, because when you're working on it, you're like, man, I got to get on stage and do this. And I know I can't wait to hear Justin, you know, just go off on that guitar solo and, you know, mm-hmm. So hopefully that happens.
If it does, let me know. I'll promote it here on the podcast, even if it's, you know, several months out, that way people can.
Absolutely. Yeah. You'll be my first call for sure.
Maybe I'd bring you closer to my area and I'd catch up with you on the concert. Absolutely. And that'd be fun to see. You really, you bit off a lot covering little Stevie Wonder with your last song. Someday at Christmas has been a song that you hear a lot at Christmas time, but I don't think a lot of people catch the meaning of it. And you cover it wonderfully. And I found your cover of this to be a little bit more stirring than what Stevie did, as far as highlighting the conflict it talks about and the hope, you know, that people become their better selves at Christmas. And I think that's one thing that Christmas provides a lot of people, is a lot of hope, because just for those few days around Christmas, everybody's a little bit better version of yourself. And it's like, well, why can't we be that every day?
That's really well put. Yeah. That was when we really wanted to end the album with that song for that exact mm-hmm. reason. That's a really insightful mm-hmm. way to put it. You know, why can't we, I even have a song on one of my earlier albums called, you know, I Wish Every Day Were Christmas Day. And kind of mm-hmm. about that, you know, when you're passing people on the street, you just, people are smiling more, people are more inclined mm-hmm. to help each other. And Stevie mm-hmm. just brilliantly, you know, it's just, they're powerful lyrics, really powerful.
They are. And I think, you know, it's a great song. It's played a lot, but I think lyrically that song really kind of gets passed over. I don't think people really listen to what he's singing in that song. And, mm-hmm. but the way you arranged it, you know, it really lets those lyrics shine, and it's a fitting bookend between this and Christmas Present on this album. I don't know if you intended it to be that way.
Take full credit for the song, the track listing. Greg Howard, brilliant. He's mm-hmm. again our A&R guy at Green Hill in Nashville, and mm-hmm. he actually loves. He's like, I can't wait to, you know, figure out the order, and he'll play the album over and over again. And he always just like, oh, what do you think? And I'm just always like, wow, I just love that. I love that sequence. And wow, you know, like what you said, I think he intentionally bookended it with Christmas Present and Someday at Christmas, because, mm-hmm. you know, it was almost like it became a bit of a story arc in a way.
I want to ask you this. I always ask people a little bit about their personal Christmas traditions. Are there any Christmas traditions you had when you were a kid? Or you said you was a, you know, you had two girls, or Christmas traditions that that you do now that you people might find a little unusual or a little funny because they just spurred up out of something?
That's a good question. I mean, we do so many of the cliches because my wife is a Christmas-aholic, and now my daughters are just like, they have been indoctrinated into the Christmas spirit, and they just, they get so excited. And when's Christmas? Like, it's summer. It's still summer. You know, we're hanging stockings. I'm trying to think of anything. Oh, well, okay, yeah, there's one thing that we do that's very unusual. Is we do lobsters for Christmas dinner. And it's, I don't know where it started. I think it started with my in-laws, because they were lucky enough to spend a lot of Christmases in the Caribbean, and they couldn't try. And I think one year they couldn't get a turkey, and they're so nostalgic, and you know, and it killed them. So they just like, they're like, okay, what would be the equivalent of a turkey in the Bahamas? And it was lobsters. So we still do kind of two Christmas dinners. We still do a turkey dinner, but then I forget which night it is, but we end up doing a big lobster dinner and you know, the burnt butter and then there's, I think they still do stuffing. So that's kind of, I don't think a lot of people are doing that probably.
Sounds good. I'm always game for a good lobster.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's lots of butter on a turkey, lots of butter on a lobster. I guess it makes sense. I don't know. Maybe the lobster is like, they start calling it the turkey of the sea.
That's great. That's great. Well, Luke, let everybody know where they can find you at and follow you on social media.
Yeah, I'd love that. I love connecting with people. I really do. So you can find me at Luke McMaster Music on Facebook. And then everything else is just lukemcmaster.com is my website, Luke McMaster on Instagram, Luke McMaster on Twitter. And then if you go to my website, I encourage people to check out Club Soul. It's a subscription, pay what you can, whatever you want. And we all just join together and get our love of soul on together. And it's, like I said, it's just been so much fun. I'm actually this Thursday, I'm going to be doing, a Christmas concert, my first little Christmas concert. I do a lot of like loop pedal stuff, piano, guitar. And as the pandemic lifts, I'll bring in special guests, and I'll do other enhanced stuff, and hopefully meet people backstage. Club Soul, I call them my soul lovers. They'll be able to come backstage and all that kind of stuff. So please reach out to me. I'm super responsive and appreciative of people's support, allowing me to have a career, which not everyone does, where I get to do truly exactly what I love to do. And it wouldn't mean anything without connecting with people. So,
and I'll have all those social media links and of course links to the album Christmas Present on my show notes on the website, so you guys that are driving, you'll just be a couple taps away when you get to where you are safely.
Yeah, please pull over before that break anything down. Yes.
And Christmas Present, as long as well as Luke's other Christmas albums, are all on the major streaming platforms, and there are CDs of Christmas.
It's all available through my website. If you want signed copies, my distributors are closed down because of the pandemic right now, but I'm hand mailing everything, and you can get signed copies this year of Christmas Present, which hasn't happened every year, which has been really cool. So you can just go to, you can get all this stuff on my website too.
Be sure to check out Luke and all his other music. He's a fantastic artist with a lot of great songs, Christmas songs. And then once Christmas rolls on and you move away, he's got some fantastic stuff that to hold you for the rest of the year till we hit Christmas again. And Luke, I appreciate you joining me here on Christmas Clatter, and hopefully we can talk sometime soon.
Yeah, anytime, Todd. That was super fun. And if I don't talk to you before then, Merry Christmas.
I think I could have talked with Luke for hours and hours. We had to seems like we had a lot of similarities in our musical taste and liking. A great guy to talk with. Hopefully he gets to do that concert soon. I would love to go see him in concert, and encourage each and every one of you guys to go to his website, lukemcmaster.com. Like Luke talked about, this album is kind of the clashing of his two likings, Christmas music and Motown. I can't seem to blame him a whole lot for that. You can really see that in his discography with all the tributes he does to Motown and the Christmas albums he has. This album, Christmas Present, is a soulful dive into Christmas. The first track is an original in which the album is titled. It's a reminder of enjoying and celebrating Christmas, no matter how great or disappointing your year may have been. It's a call to live in the present.
Would it still be Christmas if we couldn't be together? I just assumed you'd be here. Hell of a year. I learned nothing lasts forever. And there's nothing better than the moments we share. I'll never wish away another winter, baby. This year I'm gonna love the cold.
Following Christmas Present is some heavyweight songs that took a lot of gusto to record, but McMaster does well in playing homage to the icons that recorded these songs decades ago. Standouts for me are This Christmas.
How much fun it's gonna be together. This Christmas, fireside is blazing bright. We're caroling through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Yeah.
Let It Snow.
Snow.
A wonderful Christmas time.
Moon is right. Spirits up. Here tonight, babe. That's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
Having live musicians cut the tracks for this recording was ambitious during this pandemic year. But the live feel of the drums, horns, and instruments add to the album's charm. Christmas Present gives us the warmth and timelessness we love about great Christmas albums. Mick Master's vocals are soulful and the perfect modern sound for these Motown reimaginings. I highly recommend adding Christmas Present to your playlist. Luke McMaster has given new life to these Christmas standards and given us an original song that should be a modern Christmas classic. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you for listening to Christmas Clatter. Please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast app. Join us on Facebook and Instagram at Christmas Clatter Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Clatter Podcast. Send us an email at ChristmasClatterPodcast@gmail.com. Visit our website at ChristmasClatterPodcast.com. And as always, remember to keep Christmas hope alive every day.
Thank you for listening to the Christmas Podcast Network.